Oh, goodness. Hang on, I gotta start. Oh, all right, there we go. Because someday I'll put these on YouTube. Someday. Oh, boy.
Our greatest hits.
Yeah.
He's already playing the music, I can tell.
Welcome to the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Brett. It's Josh. It's Eric. We had 1 week to get our ducks in somewhat of a line. More like our cats herd. Got our batteries charged. We're fired up. We're ready to talk about some football. Josh has some great segments. How you boys doing? Eric.
I'm great, man. I'm happy to be here.
I'm tired. So we just moved the kiddo to a bed from the crib.
Oh.
And he was up at 3:30 in the morning the first
yeah,
night and 4:30 in the morning yesterday. So I'm hoping we make it till 5:30 tomorrow. So
yeah,
we'll
he
see
was.
What happens though. It was great.
A man, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Batmobile bed though. So pretty dope.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I was pretty happy about it. Wife's got good taste. Other
that
than that, I'm great.
That's so sick. Brad, how are you doing, bud?
Yeah, Brad.
How's the Great White North?
That's good. I'm all right. Living the dream. Run, Rich, run.
Oh.
Join the cause.
Join the cause. Run, Rich, run. There you go.
Yeah, I'm fine. All right.
All right, so
before we get
what do
in,
you guys want to get started with first?
I want to get started with a little FSA update. I know they're getting ready to come back on the air this week. So what we got going on over there, Josh? No, you tell me. That's all I know is they're coming back on the air on the YouTube.
They're going to be starting back next week with the show. The season will reopen in 3 days' time. So today is the 28th. On the 2nd of March, which is Monday, season is going to be opening back up for the off season. Now, I have to get with him to figure out if the Dynasty League is going to be opening up yet or not, but a lot of exciting things coming, so please go check it out at fsa-fr.com. Ask the owner questions, Brian. He's totally approachable. But Cheryl is also his co-partner, and they run this thing together. They're both approachable, and they're ready to roll. Brad is putting on his SARS mask, so that's interesting.
It's not SARS, you
I guess
old
it's
man.
A coronavirus.
There you go.
Coronavirus, sorry, excuse me. Anyway. So, yeah, go check it out, fsa-fr.com. I was just looking at Brad putting on his Mickey Mouse coronavirus mask. It was very strange. Anyway, all right, so let's get back to the show. All right, so we got some news coming out because Brad's daddy daycaring it over there. Do you guys have to worry about coronavirus up in Alaska? I would imagine not. So the cap is going to hit $200 million per club this year. That's an increase of about $12 million. Won't make a difference for anyone but the quarterbacks. So there's that. In other news, it looks like Kenyon Drake is asking for $10 million a year. So that means that he probably will not be a Cardinal.
For four games?
I mean, what do you want to do?
Shoot your shot, bud. Shoot your shot. Joe Flacco
yeah,
did
Yeah, I guess.
Joe Flacco did the same thing.
Yeah.
The excuse train is still rolling hard for Jameis. Apparently, he played through a torn meniscus in 2019 along with his poor eyes. So, couldn't move, couldn't see, but he still threw for 5,000 yards and 30-30. So, there you go.
Prove it.
What? Okay. I can't prove it. Anything.
Show me the CT scans. Show me the MRI. I want to see it. I want to know.
It's looking more and more like the Atlanta Falcons will not be keeping Austin Hooper. Their cap situation is very bad, as we all know. It looks like the Packers and the Bears are the front runners currently. So that division is going to be shooting their shot at Hooper. It makes sense because the Bears, they could not keep their tight ends healthy with Trace Burton and Chase Daniels. And then, you know, the Packers, they're letting Jimmy Graham go. They were paying him $10 million a year. They can probably afford to pay Hooper.
So,
what do you want to say, Brad?
Yeah. So, as soon as Austin Hooper gets signed by the Patriots, is he the number one tight end off the board when Tom Brady comes back and Austin Hooper's his tight end?
No.
I mean, he was the number one tight end until he got hurt with Matt Ryan. Let's be honest.
He's going to be up there. He's not going to be number one, but he's definitely going to be up there. Now, also, in other interesting news, it doesn't appear that the Patriots are going to be keeping Tom Brady. It's looking more and more like they are looking at other options, boys. No? Brad looks like he's got some skepticism.
Okay, I'll believe it when I see it. It's one of those things like...
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I know crazier...
He's been with them for 20 years.
I mean, Brett Favre retired a Jet. Joe Montana retired a Chief.
Brett Favre retired a Viking. Brett Favre retired a Viking, sir.
Didn't he go to the... Oh, he went to the Jets and the Vikings. That's what it was.
Yeah. He had a cup of coffee in New York. And then
He was a gunslinger, all right?
Kurt Warner went to Arizona. Like, so many of these quarterbacks that do great things for places go to other places and finish out their careers. If Troy Aikman didn't get his head knocked off, he probably would have went to the Redskins.
Steve Young, too.
That's true. Now, the Colts look like they are targeting Phillip Rivers. So the front runners for that are Tampa Bay and Indianapolis. I personally would rather see him land with the Colts as opposed to Tampa Bay. I don't think that he has the arm anymore, like what Bruce Arians would like to run. I do think at this point in his career, Jameis has a better arm, but we'll see. The Rams have spoken old soft nug Jordan Reed. What do you guys think about that?
They have Tyler Higbee. Don't waste. They don't have enough cap space to go around. They got Aaron Donald to pay. Or they paid Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, they're moving Gurley.
Jalen Ramsey. They can't move Todd Gurley.
They paid Goff. Yeah.
So, hold on. There's no way. I want to circle back to, like, the first thing you talked about, the Kenyon Drake wanting $10 million a year.
Oh, okay.
So
that's a while back.
Yeah, I know. Cool. I forgot about this. So the Cardinals can move David Johnson, especially if the CBA gets approved before the free agency. They can move him. He's only owed, I think it is, $10 million this year, and they can take half of that and get the other team to take it. They can do some cap things to make it work if the CBA gets approved. CBA doesn't get approved, that's when things get really murky because you can't push off contracts when you dump players and stuff. You have to eat it all for the current year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting situation. I think – and they're not going to pay Kenyon Drake $10 million a year after. I don't think they are after the mistake they made with David Johnson. I think they probably learned their lesson. They're seeing what happened to the Rams. They're seeing what happened to the Jets. I mean, these guys who got these big contracts outside of Zeke, and even Zeke had a down year, have not performed yet.
But if Kenny Drake's asking for 10 and they give him 7, is he going to take it? You know what I'm saying? That's different. He's not Zeke. He's not these guys with these big, you know, he doesn't have as much room. So, I mean, I see Kenny Drake probably staying there. Because they traded for him. They liked him. They gave him the vote of confidence. And they have a rookie quarterback. Yes, he was the first pick, but he's still on a rookie deal, not on a Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers deal.
Okay. All right. Now, this next one is for you, Eric. The Cowboys are considering re-signing Dez Bryant, and this is coming from Jerry, who has been thinking about him in the shower.
Okay, that's weird, first off.
That's your boy.
No, Jerry's not my boy.
Thinking about it a lot
Let's
in
not
the
get
shower.
Let's not get confused. Yeah. Jerry's not my boy.
Well, he is.
Dez should not be on the team ever again because he can't even stay healthy through a single practice
anymore.
You're
not even going to sign Dez and let him retire a Cowboy? Wow, that's rude.
If they want to do a one-day deal so he can retire as a Cowboy, that's fine. Go ahead. But, I mean, I wouldn't even waste like a veteran's minimum on him just to have him on the roster. They don't need him. Save that money. They don't need him. It's fine.
Would you rather have him or Cobb?
Cobb.
No, Dez is more talented than Randall Cobb.
He's more talented, but the problem is he's more talented and he relied on his physical gifts. He never learned how to run routes properly or get separation. Cool. So no, I do not want Dez Bryant back on the team. And Dak is also not my quarterback. Thanks very much.
Wow.
Mister, okay. I'm 33 million years and good enough for me.
Well, 40 will probably get the job done. No, there is a strong Real sense sad. In Chicago that they're going to add a veteran, and it looks like they have their eye on the Red Rifle. What do you guys think about Chicago going after Andy Dalton?
They already have a backup. Why?
I mean, they have Mr. Trubisky, but they're hoping to push him a little bit with this. So what do you think, Brad?
I think it could be good. I mean, it's better than who? Josh McCown, who is like 85 years old out there?
I think he retired again.
He's a winner. All right. How dare you talk of Josh McCown like that?
I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, he could probably understand the offense. If Matt Nagy keeps calling plays like how he's been calling plays the last few years, it's not going to work out. Like, he needs to figure out what the heck he's doing wrong.
I think that's a bad move for the Bears and the Bengals. I really think the Bengals should trade out of that first pick and sign him back on a not a cheap deal, but a lower than average market deal.
Oh no, Andy, for a quarterback, Andy Dalton, for a veteran quarterback. Andy Dalton's done there in Cincinnati, man. They're built. They're trying to sell tickets.
Why?
They're trying to sell tickets. They don't care. They don't care if they really win.
Get a king's ransom for that first round pick.
They don't care if they win.
And that offensive lineman just ran a 5.140.
They don't care if they win. They want to sell tickets and sell jerseys.
I get that.
And small hand Joe Burrow will sell that.
Still need to build a team. Small hand Joe Burrow.
You know if he gets drafted.
What is with those hands? What do they measure at?
They're 9 inches.
Yes, 9 flat.
9 inches.
He would be the smallest hands of a first round quarterback.
Does everybody know that a college ball is bigger than an NFL ball?
Did you know that Patrick Mahomes' hands were like 9 1/4? So.
Still not 9, though. Matter. Still not 9.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just like their height doesn't really matter. Russell Wilson was 5'10". Drew Brees is 5'10". Doesn't matter.
You say it doesn't matter, but is that why Kyler Murray couldn't get the ball in the end zone on the red zone? Because he's so short? Mm-hmm. I mean, their red zone offense was terrible in Arizona this year. And
he needs to learn how to adjust like Brees did. Brees drops back like an extra 8 steps so he can see.
No, Brees,
but he does it.
Brees gets a touchdown. Brees gets a touchdown for the 25.
Well, yeah, because he's got Michael Thomas. But yeah,
the old 15-step drop. All right.
Now, 15-step drop. It'll be fine.
So it looks like the Washington Redskins were talking about trading out of their pick, but now it appears they are considering quarterback options. Now, there have been reports coming out of Washington that their quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, struggled so poorly to read the playbook last year. Some people in the organization thought that he was dyslexic. FYI, he is not dyslexic.
No. Who tweeted that? Gottlieb, right?
Okay. Gottlieb gets a little crazy on Twitter. I mean,
he does. But apparently he has a source in the Redskins that confirmed this, or that said this to him. So,
and Gottlieb also, though. But Gottlieb, for college basketball, he does like – he's in like top 5 of NCAA all time assists, so. But that's because he played for like 5 years. Because he's, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible move for Washington. Again, trade down. You need more pieces than a quarterback. Trade down.
I mean, we all say that, but there are teams that go and grab a quarterback, and it changes their whole system. Arizona went out and got a quarterback, and we have hope for them. I mean, it's hopeful. You know,
when you're staring
down. Hold on, Eric. You remember this time last year? And all the Browns. And why was that? Because of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you're right. And guess what? It blew up in my face. So guess what? I'm back the other way
and
now.
And a rookie quarterback, like we say all the time, with a rookie quarterback, even if he's a first-round pick, is cheaper than a veteran quarterback. So if you can get one and then you can pay up for pieces, like the Rams did with Jared Goff, like all these other teams have done, and try to win really fast.
Yeah, because you've got a 2 to 3 year window. I think the Browns did it the right way. The Patriots do it the right way. You trade down, you get as many picks as you can, you get as many lottery tickets as you can, and you hope you hit on most of them. Now, obviously, the Patriots need to hit on a receiver one of these years, which they probably won't. But Washington needs a lot more help than just, oh, we got a replacement for Haskins. We got Tua, who's not even probably going to play next year because we don't know what his hip looks like. So, I would trade down.
But you got to have somebody to trade down, too. The problem is there's not a lot of people to trade down.
Miami wants Tua.
Yeah. Well, actually, they actually – talking about the interviews that came out of the combine today, and apparently Miami gave them the old cold shoulder, boys. So, after all that tank for Tua mess –
you
got
to play hard to get. You can't let her know you're asking her to prom. You got to let her sweat it. Sweat.
Maybe what – maybe what happened was a Deion Sanders situation. Whenever he went to interview the Giants in the draft, they sat down with this huge book, looked like a phone book, he said, and it was a test that they wanted in. He asked them, what spot are you picking in the draft? They said 10th. He said, I won't be there anyway, and he walked out.
I love prime maybe, time. Not Deion Sanders. I love prime time. Deion played baseball.
Maybe
prime time played football.
It was like,
yeah, you're
maybe
right.
He was like, fifth? I'm not gonna be there at fifth. Yeah. So don't worry about this.
Good for you, Deion.
Who was the team that drafted the guy and didn't even interview him? I think it was like the Knicks. I think the guy they drafted the NBA draft, they didn't look at him, they didn't interview him, they didn't talk to him, they just drafted him one year.
What's Frankie Nicotine?
Yeah.
Their point guard?
Might have been him because Phil just liked
or,
him.
Or Kristaps Porzingis. I'm sure they interviewed Porzingis. Yeah.
I think it was the Knicks or the
Frankie Nicotine might have been it, though.
It was either the Knicks, the Jets, or the Giants. One of those teams, they just didn't – they didn't interview. They just drafted him. And it's like
– they're all pretty inept. So, yeah, that's probably true.
Oh, no, that's what it was. It wasn't drafted. It was Brock Osweiler's Texans deal. That's what I'm thinking of, where they signed him without interviewing
him. Oh, the heist.
No, not the heist. Yeah. They sold him to Cleveland, the one where the Texans took on and signed him. Like,
no, yeah. He's talking about how Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler's nickname is the Heist because he's stolen so much money from everyone over the years for doing literally nothing.
Not like Sam Bradford. Anyway, so Cameron Jarrell Newton is healthy, and it appears that he is going to stay with Carolina. Thoughts, boys? Merkin with Matt Rhule. They got the passing game coordinator from LSU. I mean, there's some big things that are happening in Carolina. How do you guys think this is going to play out?
So if Cam really is healthy, I like it because here's what Matt Rhule does. He kind of does what Eric said. You need a lot more things. They need, they need some more help there to help Christian McCaffrey out. And Christian McCaffrey probably only has a couple more years left of this type of workload, if you're lucky. So you let Cam go out there and you see what you got. And then maybe they sneak up in the third round and grab him, one of these quarterbacks and just see what happens. Just play and play there. Okay, cool. We don't like him. And if they're bad again and Cam's not healthy, Trevor Lawrence is out there.
Tank for Trevor.
T-Law.
Is Cam eating meat again?
Probably not. He's the worst.
Do you guys?
He looked frail last year.
Do you think Carolina would take Jalen Hurts if they can get him in the third round?
Yeah.
His speed was ridiculous in the combine.
Yeah, probably, dude. Why not?
Okay.
He ran a 4.59. So
now that we've discussed.
Yeah.
Now that we've discussed this.
There's one more quarterback.
It moves into.
There's one more quarterback thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. Ben Roethlisberger said he's going to be ready. Big Ben.
No one cares.
He won't.
Okay, so now we're talking about Cam Newton, his future, even Ben Roethlisberger. This moves into our segment for the night, boys. Will they or won't they? Will they be better or won't they be better than they were the previous season?
Can we say stay the same?
No.
Okay.
No matter how much things change, they always stay the same.
It's literally impossible for a quarterback or any player in fantasy to score the exact same amount of points they did the year prior. Not literally impossible, but highly.
LaDainian Tomlinson?
His last 4 years have been the same.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
Yeah, if you score zeros. All right, anyway. So, now, we've talked about Cam Newton a little bit. Obviously, I think he's going to be better, and right now he's projected to go in about the 13th round of mock draft. I think he's going to be better. I think he could end up as a top five quarterback next year.
Wow. That's a bold statement. Would you care to put where would you care to bet your hair on it?
No. See, I understand the look on Brad's face is because he's talking about them happening in drafts right now. There are best ball and dynasty drafts.
No. I'm not talking about that. You said Cam Newton, right?
Yeah, Cameron Jarrell Newton.
He did.
So how is he worse than last
year?
Do
you want to bet your hair on it?
He doesn't play a game? That's how he's worse? Like, I mean, is that what's worse? But is that even worse?
That's a good point. His floor is like zero.
But in those two games, he was unstartable.
Two games. And he threw no touchdowns. They were interceptions only. So that's what I'm saying. The bar was very low. He was injured. But even before that, the year prior, he was injured. He wasn't great the year prior to that. I'm just saying, we're looking at the last – okay, we'll look at the last two seasons.
The only thing not getting over that bar, oh, my God, is a rolly chair because it's going to trip over. Like Donatello in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 when he's surfing with the ooze. Eric knows what I'm talking
about.
Okay. Nice.
Okay, well, I know what that is as well. Now, we'll move on to the next one.
Whoa, wait. You didn't answer my question.
What was the question?
Are you willing to bet your hair on Cam Newton being a top five quarterback next year?
I'm not betting my hair on anything.
Top 15.
Okay.
No, especially not unless there's something for me to gain. I had nothing to gain there.
Okay, pie bet.
You haven't even paid up your last one.
We need a board. We're going to get a board.
I'm a bad person.
Yeah, we'll get a.
I think I owe two. I'll try to remember to do that this weekend and film it.
I'm going to start.
Once I get my studio set up down here, I'll get it all. I'll get a board behind us and we can all see them.
I'm opening the studio.
Shutting down the studio.
Shutting down the studio.
All right, so now we'll start with a big point of contention. Juju Smith-Schuster. He didn't miss a lot of games. Big Ben wasn't there. But you got to remember, there was also the situation in which Antonio Brown wasn't there. He wasn't even the number one receiver on this team. That was Deontay Johnson. And Juju did play a good portion of the season despite the injuries. Do you think he will be better next year? Will he or won't he?
Are you going to give us some hard ones? Yeah, he'll be better. He's the number one wide receiver.
Oh, okay. So I think he will be worse because I don't think Ben Roethlisberger will be back and healthy.
Okay, but if Big Ben's not back, they'll have a contingency plan. Like, they're not going to roll in there with what they had this, because they weren't planning on that this year. What if Andy Dalton ends up at Steeler as a backup?
Well, that's a different story, but you're asking me the question right now. If you're asking me the question right now, at this current moment in time, with their current situation, I say he's worse. Because you've got Mason Rudolph and who's the other guy?
Duck Hodges.
There you go.
But they're not going to be, because they know they've traded away their future. They have now to win. They're going to.
But I don't know who they're going to. I don't know who they're going to draft, and I don't know who they're going to get in free agency.
They're
so
going to back
right
up,
now.
They're going to back up whatever little bit of money they got left to Ryan Tannehill, because Tom Brady is going to the Titans, and Tannehill is going to be out there looking for a poor job.
You're crazy.
That's.
No, they'd keep Tannehill in case Brady got hurt, but no. Well, no, they have Mariota. Never mind. They keep Mariota. So, yeah, maybe Tannehill is out of
the free agent, too, because his fifth-year option's up. Maybe Marcus Mariota comes down there. Mike Tomlin figures him out.
Okay.
Is that one of the worst quarterback classes ever? Mariota and Winston?
That's
pretty bad, though, right?
Let's talk about a current controversial player, Derrick Henry. Will he or won't he? He finished as the seventh best running back in PPR.
Worse.
We talked about this. He hit the number. He hit the magic number. He's going to be worse. Him and Christian McCaffrey are both going to be worse next year.
So he was part of a poll that we conducted on Twitter. I said a bigger bust in 2020, Juju Smith-Schuster or Derrick Henry. The poll actually ended up being tied 50% to 50% with over 140 votes.
Well, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think there's no way that Derrick Henry doesn't bust, because he's going to be a top. Like, he's going to be in the top two rounds drafted.
In standard, okay. He'll probably be a top 7 or 8 pick.
Yeah, but I'm saying even in PPR, he'll be in the first two.
Even
he'll
in PPR,
be in the first two
yes,
rounds.
He will be.
And Juju's probably going to fall, even with his name value, to probably at least the fifth.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about Lenny then. Leonard Fournette finishes as 6th-best running back. Got to remember, Jay Gruden will be calling the plays down in Jacksonville now. He notoriously does not like to utilize one running back. He normally has a third down back. So this is what he did at his time in Cincinnati. This is what he did in Washington as well. Do you guys think Lenny, in the final year of his contract, will do it, or do you think Rykel Armstead is going to take some of that work?
Go ahead, Eric.
Contract year. I say he's better.
I say they're going to ride him into the ground. See what they got with him.
Okay.
Because what are they? I mean, Gardner, we like Gardner Minshew, but he's not slinging the ball around 50 times and you're winning games.
Okay. All right.
And Nicky Foles ain't saving them. So they're going to have to do something on the running, with the running game.
How long till Jay Gruden's the interim coach, though? Let's be honest. They fired all.
That's a fair point.
They fired all of his coaches for the head coach. They fired all his assistants and everything, and just left him.
That's true.
This is set up to be.
He's a figurehead.
Yes.
Yeah.
100% like what we thought was going to happen with the Lakers, where they're going to fire him and let Jason Kidd take the job. They were just hiring Jason Kidd as the assistant just to give him the.
Just let LeBron coach the team. Get it over with. But anyway.
Okay. Now, here's a guy who played 13 games. Normally finishes as a top 24 wide receiver. He finished as 63rd last year. Brandon Cooks. You think it's over? Or do you think he's going to have a better year?
Do I think he'll finish worse than 63?
No, 24. Do you think he'll be back in the top 24?
Oh, no, I don't think he'll be back in 24. I thought you were like, is he better or worse than 63? I was like, better.
Yeah, I think it'd be better than 63. I'm not worried about that. Well, between Juju was 6-2, so.
Between the soft nug and the Rams' offensive woes this past year, Goff still is quarterback, and Goff has not been accurate.
Well, I think
I don't think he's getting the top 24.
What killed Brandon Cooks this past year was the offensive line went from being one of the best to middle of the road, and now Goff doesn't have the time to take a 7-step drop and get it deep to Brandon Cooks accurately. They still took a couple deep shots, but those are just Hail Marys.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing that changed the look of this offense was the fact that he didn't have time to throw. It affected the way Todd Gurley played, and you guys noticed they did utilize the tight end quite a bit more because those guys were the ones running over the middle. The offensive line play was horrendous last year, and like you alluded to, Brad, that was a big problem. Now, let's talk about a guy who finished just outside the top 12, our surprise breakout last year. From the Miami Dolphins, Devontae Parker, number 13 fantasy wide receiver. Do we project him to finish as a number one next year, or do you think he will fall outside of the top 24?
Okay, I got two questions for you. Is Adam Gase going to come back and coach there? Well, you know the answer to that is no. Number two, is the Fitzmagic still going to be his quarterback, just slinging it?
As far as we know.
That's the questionable one. He'll probably start the season. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is still the quarterback and he's still willing to gunsling it in there, I'm fine with Devontae because I want a guy that's getting target volume, and he's still the most talented person there. The defense is still going to be bad, if not worse.
So. Okay, so he's going ahead of guys like – well, he finished ahead of Jarvis Landry, Tyler Lockett, Robert Woods, Cortland Sutton, Stephon Diggs. Do you see him? Do you see yourself drafting him above any of those guys?
Diggs, yes.
Yep. I think Landry's the only guy on that list I wouldn't draft him ahead of because Landry's been so consistent over the years. I think we talked about this, two shows ago or something like that, or the last show.
You got to remember, Landry's having hip surgery.
Out 6 to 8
months.
Oh, right.
That's a big deal. All right,
Bob Woods maybe because he was pretty consistent last
year.
He
just didn't get Lockett, the end zone. We're taking him above him, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love T-Lock.
I mean, sure. T-Lock came through in the clutch for all of us last year.
Mm-hmm. He was good on multiple fantasy squads for me last year. So yeah, I like T-Lock. I didn't have him in my Valentines, and I should have. I was kind of upset that I didn't do that. By the way.
Anyway, I don't really care for T-Lock. Now I think. They're going to draft another quarterback. We know that. So let's say that Tua is on the team.
You talking about Miami still?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. Yeah.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick will throw 4 interceptions in a game somewhere between the first week and the fourth week. Now, after that fourth week, let's say that happens, they bring in Tua. Do you guys still like his value, Devontae Parker, or do you think that's too much to pay for a guy whose future is very uncertain?
So here's my question. Is Tua even going to be healthy enough to play? Or are they pupping him all year?
Yeah.
Are they drafting in the first round and throwing him on the pup and just letting him redshirt? Honestly.
All of the medical reports have come back with his hip as clean. So it does look like he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season.
But what I'm getting at is, does Miami want to do that? Or does Miami, instead of putting the pressure on the coach, the GM, and the team to have to play him, if we pup him, it's out of our hands now. He's not able to play. Oh, he might come back week 8. You know how that goes. Like, he might come back week 8. We have one win. Mm-hmm. He's still too hurt, guys.
Yeah, okay. So I even if Tua's on the team, the routes that he runs are usually short, middle of the field. He's running slants, he's running ins, couple maybe some outs, stuff like that. They're all very doable throws for a rookie quarterback. And he's pretty sure-handed. So I think even if Tua was out there, or say Tua doesn't make it and they take a Justin Herbert there at 5, then I think he's still a good option. I think he'll still see a lot of volume because, like Brad said, the defense is still going to be bad. They're not going to have a running game, so they're going to have to throw the ball. So they might, even if Herbert's in there or Tua's in there, they're going to have to throw it 50 times. He'll get a lot of volume. And so I think he's still a good option.
Josh, you watch a lot of SEC. Tua did all right with Calvin Ridley, right? Tua did a lot with all these Alabama wide receivers, right? He still knows how to get it to his talented people. He made O.J. Howard look really good, right?
Tua, So
glad he did.
So Tua has a lot of skills, but one, his health is a big concern. He's left-handed. Yes, Brad, he is left-handed, which a lot of people don't think that's a big deal. It but is.
He'll be the only left-handed starter in the NFL if he was to start week one.
No kidding. That's interesting.
There you go. How about that? Yeah, so he would be the only one. And Tua, you got to understand, Alabama is not a quarterback factory. They never have been. They have two of them that are coming out this year. Jalen Hurts, I know he had a little cup of coffee in Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa.
Just say whatever, Tua. Whatever. Just say Tua. Keep it.
Tua T. And
Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not. I had an extra.
Yeah. So it's like Tua. Whenever you're trying to say Giannis's last name, Antetokounmpo. I don't know.
Now you messed it up.
Antetokounmpo.
I'm not gonna be able to say it because you messed it up.
It's easy.
Say it.
He just did.
Antetokounmpo.
That's not how you say it.
It's close enough.
I guarantee none of like Gunder head. If you
no,
live or die.
Yeah, no. So that's why everybody so just calls
you,
him Giannis.
What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say if Tua comes in there, you don't like Devontae Parker?
Yeah.
And
I don't.
I'll say one thing to I'll say one thing to agree with you, and this kind of goes back to him being left-handed. Do you guys remember when Mike Vick took over for Ben Roethlisberger? That year big Ben went down and Vick was the backup on the team? Well, he was throwing – he was a lefty. Vaguely. AB, that was when AB had his – he had had 50 yards or a touchdown in every game since, like, the dawn of time. Like, he was just lighting it up. And he dropped
when
a touchdown.
He was still sane.
He dropped a touchdown pass because he said the ball spun differently coming out. So when he went to catch it, he's used to it spinning a certain way. And wide receivers are creatures of habit. If he goes with Ryan Fitzpatrick for a while and he comes in, it's going to change the way he has to catch the ball. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but it's a reason.
It's an
that
excuse.
Is what, that's why wide Brady –
sorry, Josh. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's why Belichick likes left-footed punters. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say receivers are creatures of habit in the fact that they are divas and they make excuses for dumb crap like that.
There's something to be said about it. I mean, Belichick only. It's a something to think about when you're looking at this stuff in the future.
Oh no, I'm saying it's an excuse. Just catch the ball. Don't cry.
Okay,
about
so
it. Which way it's
last
spinning.
Last year was quite the year for injuries at the quarterback position. So I want to talk about a couple of quarterbacks real quick, and then we'll move on. Dak Prescott finishes a top five quarterback. Let's say nothing changes. What do you guys project him finishing top five again?
No.
Top five? No. Top 10? Yes.
Like you said, Josh, a lot of the big name quarterbacks.
I think you'll see a little dip.
Last year, he finished ahead of Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes didn't play a full season. He finished ahead of Drew Brees because Drew Brees missed a lot of games. Like he had a great year, but also there were a lot of teams that. And the Cowboys don't want to win with him having huge years. They want to win with him having small years and them grinding it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll have his they'll play another middle of the road schedule because again, they're right in the middle of the pack because they're the most mediocre team in the history of mediocre teams. They'll play a decent schedule. He'll have 8 good games against the crap teams they play, and he'll have 8 terrible games against the good teams that they play, and he'll put up his numbers and try to justify a big contract, and that'll be it. So
okay.
He'll be in the top 10.
Now, one more. Do you guys think Josh Allen will finish in the top 10? He did this year. Do you project him being able to do that again next year? In his third season, I mean, Josh Allen showed a lot of improvement last year.
I think so.
Okay.
Remember, he led quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns. I don't see that happen again with the likes of Lamar Jackson. And I just – that carried him a lot. When you're talking about 4 points or 6 points, when he's leading all quarterbacks in those that are giving 2 more points each time he gets one, that changes a lot of his stats. He needs a little – the offense, if it stays where it was and it stays going good, but do you guys expect Cole Beasley to be as good as he was last year? I don't. And, like, he had a lot of good players out there that kind of showed up.
They might add some stuff in the draft. I know, just talking about right now, because that's what I brought up earlier. I think the running portion of like his game and Lamar Jackson's game is probably the most repeatable part of their games. So I maybe not the touchdown numbers, but I'm pretty sure he'll be consistent in that over the course of the early years of their careers. So I think, yes, he'll still be in the top 10.
The problem I have and with Josh Allen's running is the fact Lamar Jackson takes hits, but it doesn't look like he gets hurt. Josh Allen is trying to hurdle dudes, and he's putting himself out there to get injured.
He does need to be smarter about it, absolutely. And hopefully maybe one more year of experience looking at film, he's like, oh, man, I should have got out there, or I should have threw it away here, or that, you know. Hopefully that a little more wisdom with one more year of 16 games under his belt.
All right. Now, I'm going to let you guys think about this next one while I give an interesting stat. You guys think about one thing you would like to share from the combine. It can be anything, something funny, something interesting, something surprising, whatever. Now, while you're thinking about that, I'm going to tell the people. Tony Romo signed an extension with CBS as an announcer for $17 million per season. Now,
good for you, Tony.
It makes him the highest paid announcer ever. Also, an interesting stat is that he only made $17 million with the Dallas Cowboys three times in his entire career. So there you go. There is your interesting stat. He will make that over the next three seasons at least with CBS. I don't know why CBS wanted to keep him so bad, but good for them.
You said it was 13 million.
He's good.
You said 13 million a year?
17.
17? So John Gruden,
oh, yeah,
when he left Monday Night Football, was the highest paid person, and he was only making $6.5 million a year.
Yep. Which you got to really – I feel bad for the guy that's got to sit next to Tony Romo every week and be like, oh, yeah, $17 million, huh? I guess dinner's on you,
okay,
eh?
Jim Nance doesn't care. Jim Nance has a house outside of Pebble Beach where he has a miniature size – was it the 16 at Pebble Beach where you hit off into the little island? He's got that in his backyard set up in his house outside of Pebble Beach. Jim Nance doing okay for himself, boys.
Oh, yeah. Jim Nance is getting that golf money.
That's probably why they had to pay
NFL
Romo.
Money.
Romo,
he's got all the money
Romo
coming
felt
in.
Like a
he's
poor hobo next to Jim Nance.
I bet Jim Nance is probably like, I love having Romo in the booth. It makes me better. I have a way better time doing NFL games with Romo than anybody else. So, yeah, pay the man.
Let me ask you this. So, Jim Nance did it last year, or – before Romo, who did Jim Nance do games with? Do you guys remember?
No.
No.
It was Phil Simms, but you guys don't remember because it was that terrible.
Oh, poor Phil Simms. He was bad, yeah, because he was so old and just not good.
All right.
That's sad.
So let before we close out the show, Eric,
I do have one better or worse. Because I think yours were kind of
– okay.
Would they, won't they? I think there were some of them were kind of easy because there were guys that had really big years or really bad years. James White. Do you think, because I know Eric loves him. If Tom Brady stays there,
Oh.
Yeah. So you can think about him. Yeah, but he's always
like,
right there.
James White?
He's always right there in the running backs, right? PPR machine. If Tom Brady stays a Patriot, James White. Better or worse?
So weeks 1 through 16, he was the 20th best running back in PPR.
Yep.
So he was an RB2.
This is what makes up teams, man. This is what wins you championships right here.
He was 7th. He was 7th the year before, 20th this year.
Does he split the difference?
I'd say he's slightly worse, but I think he's still in the top 24. Just because Brady has gone down over the years, and Belichick continues to use people like Rex Burkhead and Sonny Michel in situations that he probably shouldn't. So it does take away from offense.
They do have the guy that they drafted in the third round,
who didn't
from Alabama. So he
yeah.
who did not see the field at all. So there's a good chance that he'll be their best running back next year. Based on Bill Belichick.
Okay,
so
let's flip it over to their wide receivers. Julian Edelman, who finished as wide receiver 8 in PPR this last year.
Worse.
Easily. 100% worse.
Unless they do some serious work in free agency or the draft. But right now, the way that team is constructed, he's the only guy you have to cover on that team, and Brady's accuracy is only getting worse as he gets older.
But Julian
Edelman
has been running the same route for about 17 years right now, and still people, still this day, cannot cover it.
They at the end of towards the end of the season, he really started, like, he was getting doubled and they started to really fall off in terms of how many completions he was catching every game. Believe me, I know. I was watching them stats on my teams. He was not good towards the end of the year. And Brady's accuracy was a problem.
Okay.
Anything, I don't see that magically getting better.
Anything interesting from the combine you guys want to share?
Well, I can't do it this year, but my two favorite things all time from the combine are, one, the wide receiver that went to catch the ball and he looked the wrong way each time and got hit in the head. Hilarious. And then
that was great.
Was the dude who the offense, I think it was offensive lineman who was running in the 40 and his wiener popped out and he had to dive across. Did I steal it, Eric?
Oh, no. No, you were talking about an offensive lineman, but you went with the all-time. So there's an offensive lineman this year, Mekhi Becton, 364 pounds. He posted a 5. That's sure insane. Did. You're 300. He ran a 5.140. Good for you, dude. He's going to get paid off that stat alone. It's halfway decent tape from college. There was a wide receiver that did like 23 reps of 225. I don't remember who it was. I think it was on like 30. He killed it on the bench press. So that's pretty impressive for a wide receiver. And then the running back from Wisconsin ran a stupid fast 40, like 4.4 or something. And he's JTT. He's like 226. Him and Saquon Barkley are the only running backs over 225 to ever run a 4.4.
Okay. So, yeah, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, he is a great running back. There were two things I want to talk about. One, Thaddeus Moss. The last name sounds familiar. He is the son of Randy. Mm. Turns out he has a fractured bone in his leg. Same one Sam Bowie had. So you guys remember who Sam Bowie is?
Yes, we do. Okay.
So he has the same injury, and it looks like he will not be participating in the combine. And very sad for him because his draft stock is obviously going to hurt for that.
Mm.
And the last thing is there was a very large running back by the name of A.J. Dillon. He is compared to Derrick Henry. He weighs 247 pounds, but he ran a 4.53.
Wow.
So just be on the lookout. I understand there's a lot of running backs that are moving board. We're going to talk about DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor and a lot of these, Cam Akers, you know, the guy from Florida State that Brad really likes, a lot of different guys like that. But I am interested, after watching what Derrick Henry did last year, Boston College's A.J. Dillon. I think it's a name to watch, and we're going to see what happens with that one later.
Nice. What do you guys think of Henry Ruggs III, 4.27 40?
Well, John Ross was fast, so.
Yeah, he was 0.5 of a second off, but
we'll see if that. Henry Ruggs is a much better talent than John Ross.
He's a Bama guy, right?
Yeah, Bama has some incredible receivers right now, and they've produced some pretty good ones. They had three. One of them didn't come out yet. Jerry Jeudy is the other one that came out this year, but they have incredible talent, and they've always produced pretty good wide receivers. That Amari Cooper guy, he's pretty good. Julio Jones, pretty good.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, never heard him. Well, he's pretty, considering that they threw the ball, I think, like maybe 40 times that whole season, and Julio Jones was like the number three pick. They must have seen something on that tape.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty talented. Because he went the same year as Sammy Watkins, and we saw how that worked out. Ugh, gross. Anything you boys want to share before we get out of here?
No. Cincinnati and Washington trade down, please. Thanks.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope they do. But anyway.
I don't know.
I think that's your cue to take it home.
Thanks
there, Josh.
For tuning into the Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Josh. Brad and Eric joined me tonight after we took a nice week off. We needed a vacation because we were busy doing stuff. Eric was sleeping. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next week. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at EmptyWagonFF. On Twitter, Eric is at GunsOfEld19. And then Brad will be at TacJones because he's sharp as a tack. And I'm at FFJoshHughes because I'm very unoriginal. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We love you. And we will see you next week. Or you'll hear us. Who cares? Later.
Later.